Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with the knowledge.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today?
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up
to bring you
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
There are a lot of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout.
Hi, this is Cindy Lake. Please listen to me on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on freedomizerradio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at freedomizerradio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at Freedomizer Radio, and welcome to the Pedal Show, People Ending Discrimination on Love. I'm your host, Michelle Andreessen, and on our show we discuss topics related to school bullying, stopping petty dress rules, and acceptance of overall appearance decisions. For example, tattoos, piercings, going barefoot in public, hairstyles. And we also try to help each other in understanding issues, including, well, perceived issues by society. I want to say that because It's perceived issues, including interracial relationships and overweight. The strive for acceptance of differences, that is more important to look at the heart and minds of others rather than to judge based on appearances. As Felix Mendelssohn said, the essence of beautiful is unity in variety. So, please, tune into the show every Sunday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and join us on Facebook, where you can find us under the Petal Group, where people ending discrimination on looks. And please, join us in the freedomizerradio.com chat room. You can sign up, get an account, and you can also, actually, I'm going to play the promo. You can actually, yeah, there's some promos they're having there in the chat room. So I'm going to play that promo so everyone's aware of it rather than me giving the information. Let it come straight from Proust's mouth. And so I'm going to pull that up real quick. It's Micro Bitcoin. We're going to play that promo. But join us in the freedomizerradio.com chat room, and this is what you can get.
Hello, everyone. Proof is here. I want to let you know about our latest promotion on our freedomizerradio.com website. Our chat client, Bark, BARC.com, is hosting a micro Bitcoin giveaway while supplies last. All you have to do is go to freedomizerradio.com, join our chat room, create a screen name, and type to your friends. And some micro Bitcoins will fall from the sky. Not only that, the more people that are typing, there will be some random lotteries as well. So just for typing to your friends, you can earn some micro Bitcoins. So who knows how long this will last, but join us now, freedomizerradio.com.
So yeah, join us in the freedomizerradio.com chat room for micro Bitcoins. And I know that I've actually accumulated a handful of those in there. And also in the freedomizerradio.com chat room, you can talk about issues related to the show or other things. Just chat with people there. And you can go down through the list and see what other people are talking about from earlier in the day. It's a real good place to get information, exchange information from your fellow patriots. So I really strongly encourage you to go there. Also, anything that you post in that chat room, I'll try to stay on top of it. Last week, I know that Tessa was trying to get my attention in there, and it wasn't until after the show that I did see that. So I apologize to Tessa, but I had addressed kind of what she was talking about. So I try to stay in tune with the chat room, and you know, if there's anything you want to talk about, please address it there. But this is your show, and I want you to feel comfortable calling in at 347-324-3704. You can be anonymous if you like, or you can say as much as little as you want. But, again, we learn from one another. That's how this works here at Freedomizer Radio. So don't be afraid. And I just want to welcome everybody into the show this week. It's been an interesting couple of weeks for me. Actually, the last month has been pretty exciting and exhausting in my life and slightly heartbreaking. You know, I'm very grateful for everything that's going on and just pushing forward. So I want everyone to also be aware, just to bear with me. The time change, work, and having a sick dog has been tiring. But I'm grateful to be here for the show, and you know, we have a lot of things to talk about. And where would I like to start this week? Well, let's see. Oh, man. I had a whole bunch of things on my list, but let's just start with this article. I like this. I, too, am Harvard. Voters tell black students' stories. I have a lot of friends from all walks of life that have graduated from some prominent universities, and I do hear a common thread of just an assumption by some people that, you know, just because you look a certain way, you haven't been educated a certain way, or you don't live a certain way. As a matter of fact, that kind of holds true here at my job, you know, working a fast food kind of job. You know, I hear all the time from the owner, you never know who's on the other side of the counter. And, you know, that's very true. But at the same time, he never knows who's on the other side of the counter that he's talking about as well. So don't ever disregard anyone around you. And that It's not based on anything in particular, the color of their skin, the type of job they work. We all have some amazing strengths as human beings, and judging people on their looks can definitely cause some uncomfortable situations for you, but it also can be harmful to the people around you. So here's this article from USA Today, but it's all over the Internet if you take a look at it. I, Too, Am Harvard, sort of tell black student stories. And this was put out March 5th, USA Today Network by Jolie Lee. Some Harvard students share what it's like to be black at the Ivy League school in a photo campaign called I, Too, Am Harvard. And these photos were posted on Tumblr blogs featuring Harvard students holding signs with phrases others have spoken to them. Some of these phrases, I've heard people say these things to some of my friends. For example, you don't sound black. You sound smart, one sign reads. Another states, you're so lucky to be black, so easy to get into college. I, Too, Am Harvard is black students' declarations that they, too, have a right to be on campus, says Kimoko Matthew Lawrence, a Harvard sophomore whose independent study project sparked the photo campaign. In quotes, often we are questioned, dismissed, and brushed off as oversensitive, she states. So, a little statistics here. Black students make up 11% of Harvard's freshman class, according to the college's admissions office. Matthew Lawrence says the photo campaign and the play this Friday, based on our independent research, will, she hopes, spark a conversation with the administration about race relations in school. I went to Boston University, not too far away, and I actually saw a lot of racism back in the 90s myself there. So Harvard College applauds the organizers of I, Too, Am Harvard. In quotes, this is an important conversation for all Harvard students and for all college students across the nation. All of our students belong at Harvard, school spokesman Jeff Neal said in an interview to the USA Today Network. Neal points out that Harvard was one of the universities arguing for race-conscious admissions policies in a 2012 brief to the Supreme Court for Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, a case about affirmative action. And she states that the creator of this states that I, Too, Am Harvard was inspired by the Being Black at University of Michigan campaign. Last year, the Black Student Union asked students to tweet their experience about being black using hashtag BBMU. So here, you know, there's a lot of things that were actually tweeted regarding that, but I'm just going to go through some of these after we just talk about what happened at the University of Michigan. Basically, the students there also presented recommendations to school officials to increase black enrollment, including setting the goal of having black students make up 10% of the student population and providing more affordable housing on campus. Currently, African-American students represent 4% of the undergraduate student body, according to the Office of the Registrar. So here is some of the pictures. And actually, I'm going to post this in the freedomizerradio.com chat room, and I'm going to run over to the studio as well. So I'm going to multitask at this moment, but I'm going to post this article up so you can take a look at some of the pictures from this article. I think they're beautiful pictures, and I think it says a lot about people and some of people's, unfortunately, perceptions of what it means to be black. And this campaign really draws some attention to that. So I'm grateful for this campaign. A picture of a beautiful young lady, and it states, "No, I will not teach you how to twerk." And let's scroll down here. Next one, the young man with headphones on, and it states, "No, it's not rap." See if I can find their names, but I may not be able to. I just want to go through them real quick. Young lady, you're lucky to be black, so easy to get into college. That's what an old classmate said to her. A young man, you're African, you're not even black. What? Question mark. Exclamation point. Question mark. Exclamation point. Next one. I'm not playing the race card. And underneath it, says, you're just being racist. Next one, young lady says, oh, I heard her say she was going to Harvard. I just assumed she misspoke. What a white parent stated to her mother. Next one, a young lady, you don't sound black, you sound smart. Next one, I too am Harvard. Underneath it, a young man in a hoodie, and this is going to connect into another article later on. Why do you look, in underline, question mark, A, like a thug, B, ghetto, C, hood, D, ratchet, and E, and it circled all of the above. I did say I was going to go back to the studio, so I'm going to jump in there for a minute, too, because I know that someone is probably going to want to join me on air. I'm just going to read the rest of these real quick. Another one, you don't sound black. And those are the majority. Now, sometimes I'm afraid to read the comments, but I feel like it's very important to read the comments under articles such as this one. There may not be comments. But let me run to the studio first, and I'm going to bring Sarah in. Welcome to the show, Sarah. How are you today?
Hi, Michelle. Good to hear. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thanks. Very well.
Thank you.
So I love this campaign, kind of raising some awareness of some things that are said to young people attending Harvard or other major universities, or just intelligent young people that don't fit the bill of what parts of our population consider to be intelligent. Or what's your definition of someone who speaks well or goes to Harvard? Oh, I think it's interesting to see what some of our young people are experiencing. So I figured I'd post that up and talk about it briefly. You know, just like I said, my boss at work, you never know who's on the other side of the counter. And so many times I've just wanted to say, no, you really don't, meaning you don't know who's on the other side of your counter. And you don't know who's... that's the thing, you know. And when you are in positions in life, we kind of... I don't know, like the young people I work with, they have just as much potential as anyone I've known, most of them. And, you know, when they're told that all the time, you never know who's on the other side of the counter, it seems to me like it pigeonholes some of their thoughts. It's a subconscious process of getting them to believe that, you know, there's some phenomenal people out there, but they might not be part of that. You know, and that's a shame. It's a real, you know, that's how I perceive it. And maybe I'm just overly sensitive, but it seems very subconscious. I don't think you're intentionally saying it to oppress them or to keep them. But I find that a lot of our society does that to young people. Well, you never know who you are. You work on yourself. Don't worry about who other people are. Focus on your own beauty. Don't focus on the people around you, and that's, I think, the way of really breaking free from all these stereotypes is working on yourself and not worrying about who's around you. Because once you work on yourself and you become the person that you've always been meant to be, all those phenomenal people that maybe you wanted to attract before will be attracted to you. So,
well, it's a really good topic. You know, it's funny, I've been saying lately here and there that I feel like people have way too much free time. I know that at the same time we're all very busy, and perhaps it has something to do with my age or people my age who, or the programming that we all received, which is related to both topics. You know, I kind of see two topics here. One of them is, you know, you never know who you're talking to, and the other one is what you just mentioned here, which is, you know, if you are busy, if you're truly engaged in life. And what I mean by that is that there's some presence of a little bit of fear because you're being challenged, you know. That's what I mean by truly being alive. You know, if you're sitting and you're watching a television show about something that's challenging, it's just not the same thing. You know, and what I mean by people have too much free time is my observation is, you know, that people who are starting to you know, get into your late 50s or get towards that retirement package, you know, I see them not only sitting watching TV with most of their free time, but I do see them, I do see that with their extra time, they seem to be policing others without the authority or the knowledge to do so. And I've started to say to some of them, as diplomatically as I can, you know, did you go to school? Are you educated in that area of psychology, for example? You know, as I hear them, you know, pointing out this, that disorder, and they say no, and I say to them, you know, there's some, if you're interested in that, there's some really great places you can go study, you know? And they mm-hmm. look at me like I'm absolutely out of my mind. They say, oh, gosh, no. Or in work environments. You know, recently I worked in a flower shop for a day, and the people I lived with were so excited. They loved flowers. Just, wow, they loved flowers. Good golly, gosh, they would love to do something like that. So I said, why don't you do it? And this is what they said to me. Oh, no, I don't want to work. I was like, oh, really? Really? And that part of it, where somebody comes out with the truth when you're not directly asking them or you're not on target with the topic, that part is related, as I see it, to what you were talking about before, which is that you never know who's on the other side of the counter. You know, it just seems that human beings will present a certain way that they want to be perceived according to who it is that they think that they're talking to. You know, and that's another word for we've been programmed into this existence of lies. That lies have become a way of life. That lying is okay. I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
it's a big mess,
I agree.
You know, because it's this person. But like the people who have too much free time, and who are acting or talking about areas in which they have not really worked to gain information, to do research and think, if they were to actually step up to the plate and go do that, it's not an easy thing to do, especially for an older person, you know, but they're healthy. But I'm saying that it is challenging, but what I'm saying is that because it's challenging, they wouldn't have any free energy or time left over to be policing others in areas with which they don't have enough information or knowledge to be policing others. I've said it.
Well, you know, that judging of everyone around that you know, the crabs pull each other back into the pot, and misery loves company. So is that focus on other people and pulling other people down rather than focusing on doing positive things in your life. So, you know, that goes back to discrimination. If we're busy pointing fingers at one another, we're really not working on ourselves. Like some of the more oppressive places that I've lived tended to be in low, middle class, white neighborhoods in rural areas, and it's just my experience, you know, and I was always an outsider as far as I wasn't from those areas. I've moved around a lot of my life, and it was people that weren't going to work and spending a lot of time looking out their windows and trying to find things to gossip about. They weren't working on completing a book. They weren't working on, you know, maybe a garden. They weren't doing things to better themselves. Holding everyone down with them. Like, you know, again, it goes back to that alleged Willie Lynch speech. You know, if I don't like you because you're doing this, or because I see you, maybe I think you're working an extra job and you're not reporting it to Uncle Scam, maybe getting a leg up on me. Well,
worry about yourself. Worry about yourself and take care of yourself and aren't so focused on other people and, judging other people or, you know, trying to diagnose them, then you're really working on freeing yourself. And the system doesn't want that. The system does not want, overall, the masses to be empowered and to be working on themselves and bettering themselves and teaching their children how to be better people and how to start businesses. And that goes against what the system is trying to do. The system pull each other back into the pot, tell on each other, be part of that police state. You know, a lot of the buses have this activity reported, this fear-based society. And that's part of all of that psychology of control that I hear. So I agree with you completely, Sarah. And the more we can educate our brothers and sisters about these things, and you find freedom in working on yourselves and doing things that you're passionate about that make you, that free you from those judgments of others and that helps you expand your own mind and your own world. There's freedom within that, and God forbid people were more free intellectually and spiritually. We might move away from this oppressive style world we live in, and we might stop hurting one another and being more of what we reaching more of our potential. So it's an interesting topic, and I've heard you talking about it. It seems like it's a really important thing to look at. It not seems like it is important. It is part of that ugly root that causes a lot of pain and misery on this planet.
So much of the programming and, the things that they're putting in our food, we've come to see that there's something similar in them all, which is that the effect that they have on human beings is that it makes them more passive. Fluoride is like this. Most of the food additives, most of the psychological drugs that are given out, and I want to put a hit on that, the ones that are given out, there's a whole array of psychological drugs that have not been released, but they are not the kind that makes people anesthetized psychologically. But when we're talking of, so there's the food additives, it's coming at us in that direction, and then there's this psychological direction that it's coming at us all from. And the people who are doing this know what they're doing. They've studied human beings. They've studied animals. They've studied our behavior. You and I have talked about this before. We talked about Bernays, and the information and knowledge and how they were able, back at the turn of the 20th century, how they were able to create desire within human beings, And so these people know what they're doing. And one of the ways that this works is this way. Like, let me give you an example. When I was young, I've loved film, and really good drama, that kind of thing. And it was, I don't know why, because it was around the time of high school. I don't know if they started making more soap operas on television. And this is back in the day when you really only had, three or four channels that were coming in anyway. And I remember watching them and thinking to myself, man, it's just boring, And I watched a couple of other people get involved in them, and it wasn't a huge issue, but I found myself wondering what was it about these soap operas that were engaging these otherwise intelligent people that I knew. And here's what I came up with. Because I watched them talk with each other about what they were watching on the soap operas. And I noticed that they liked, there was something about the villains, but there was something about villainizing the soap opera, actually, that they enjoyed talking with each other about. So I'm scratching my head back then, and I'm saying, so they're engaged with each other so intensely because they think the soap operas are stupid, yet they can't stop talking about this. and watching it so that they can talk about how stupid it is. And then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. It makes them feel superior. It doesn't matter even. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter what it is, perhaps, I asked myself at 17. Maybe just anything that people can agree on is stupid, makes them feel a little superior, and, hey, you don't have to work for that, do you, to feel a sense of accomplishment. That's what I'm talking about here. That's why this works. That's why the policing is going on, not just with, you know, men with guns and these new secret agent weapons, you know, with the special cameras and tasers and the pens that they're carrying in their breast pockets. It's going on with the people. They have programmed everybody to police each other in very many ways. And why? How is it working? Because it makes that each person feel a little bit superior. There you go. You know.
Yeah.
He's there.
Oh,
he's there. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
So,
and it's a very good point, Sarah. It's a very good point. You were saying so. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you didn't interrupt me. I talked way too long.
You know, you're talking about that, and soap operas making those cause wives feel superior. It kind of brought up a lot of things, because I think that we want to talk about the maybe male equivalent. What would be my first instinct of what the male equivalent to soap operas would be? And I remember my dad back in the 1980s with the WWF, and that would be my first vision of the male equivalent of that. And I think that sports. Now we all know that the WWF it was definitely rigged. You know, a lot there was something back in the day where all were fighting against each other on TV. Were out drinking. I think one got a DWI and they were together. I don't remember the exact story, but you know, so we know those things were rigged and they really didn't have those huge arguments with one another. Just kind of like politicians that seem kind of gloss it over and make it look one way, but it's really the other. They're all on the same team, and it's about making money and dumbing down the masses. But, you know, I see kind of sports in the same way. Now, again, WWF is a bit easier to see that it's a hoax. It's all pretty much rigged. But I think that, you know, you pointed out something with soap operas. I do think it dumbs us down and it gets us to accept less and less morality. And I think TV does that effectively, but I think soap operas did that very well. I remember my mom watching. We didn't have a lot of, we had like one TV channel, it was a Canadian television channel, but there was a soap opera on there, and my mom watched it when I was little. So I think that it did get us to accept less and less morals, and I do see sports as an equivalent, and my significant other is a big football fan. He has some professional athletes in his family, and it's interesting because the more and more awake I become, the less and less I like sports. I used to actually date a pro athlete, and I was a huge baseball fanatic. I used to live right near Central Park, and the more awake I become, the less I like sports because I know the agenda behind it. And the agenda is not good for we the people. So, you know, do I dislike professional athletes? No. But I do dislike the agenda behind sports, just like it's the same thing with the music industry. So, some interesting points there. And I really, that superiority, it's funny because that superiority complex that maybe it does create, I think part of that is because people think maybe that they're better than the people they're observing on there, it also erodes their morals because, well, I don't do that, so I must not be bad. And then the line goes a little bit further one direction than it ever had
When you have people with such low morals that you see constantly, it makes you think that you're okay, and you'll be willing to draw that line a different direction in the sand more and more, maybe a little bit every day if you're a weaker person. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And people who watch it that regularly and consistently, because of the kind of media that it is and the music that they use and the knowledge that these people have who are creating these things, people also begin to identify with the characters and begin to live their lives as though they're living these dramas. And I just think that there's been this huge programming that's gone on to take away people's sense of a courage in their personal lives. I know we talk a lot on internet radio about systems, and we are indeed, of course, part of systems. But the longer I do this, the more I see that the only way out is not the creation of another system. It has to happen on an individual basis. And so that everything that we've just talked about here, I'm proposing, is going on in everybody's lives. And the only reason it continues to go on is because people have been programmed to ignore it and stay anesthetized by either their shopping or their watching films or TV or their a repetitive, habitual, pleasure-seeking behaviors, which is different than pleasure. The habitual pleasure-seeking behavior is different. And I'm avoiding the word addiction on purpose. Because that's another system of programming. And it's false. It's false information. But unless people begin to have the courage to love the truth, it's still going to continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't bother most people. I guess doesn't bother most people.
No. Well, and when you try, unless you have a certain kind of relationship with a person, when you even assert that this could be a possibility, I don't know your experience, but people become kind of rigid and they don't want to hear it. And especially a lot of the young people I work with, their acceptance of certain things and in just trying to open their eyes to what else might be the possibility is sometimes taken in a different way. So, but the beautiful part about that is, you know, again, someone who absolutely loves sports and was complete. I wanted to be a physical therapist. My first major in college was physical therapy, and I wrote Lou Gorman of the Red Sox. I wanted to be their physical therapist. It was hell-bent on it when I went to college. And, you know, once I woke up and I saw what I believe is the agenda behind that, you know, how they manipulated those things, I have a whole different perception. You know, I used to love horror movies, and I've really gotten away from horror movies because I received the conditioning. Last week I've made dramatic changes in my diet just because my level of awareness is becoming more and more fine-tuned. Not only that I want to practice what I preach, the more that I practice what I preach, the better I feel about myself and the world I live in, the more empowered I feel, and it builds on itself. So I think that if we stay with this, eventually people will start to see, whether it's through the Super Bowl halftime show and in the imagery they see on there, you expose it enough, they'll start to see, and they will start to see the other side of it. And they do not want to partake. I think that there is some awakening, but there's so much
selfishness and wanting to hold on to what's familiar because that's comfortable. And when you pull away the security blanket, the fear, you know, is sometimes unbearable for people. So they want to hold on to that. So if you can just get a little bit of truth in there, it's always underneath the security blanket. And eventually they may decide they want to let go of it, but it might take some time. So I have some confidence that a lot of people are in the process of awakening. I'm not really good at planting seeds, but I see seeds being planted all around me. I tend to plant my foot more than plant seeds in my personal life. So,
one of the things that I see presented to me as an argument for the truth not always being a good thing is this one. People get hurt. Did you ever hear this one? If they're told it, if they're told the truth, they'll get hurt. There's this misnomer out there, this misinformation about how the truth is not appropriate because it will upset people. Yet, I don't buy this as an argument because what I notice is that it's covering something up. It's covering up something that's been done then is worse than the upset or uncomfortableness of facing the truth. Now, I'm gonna give you a concrete example. I know you and I have both been overweight or fat, right? So I'm going to use this. Okay, so as an example, actually, I've spent most of my life being, oh, here they come. Here it comes. You want to put me on mute? They're going to come right by here. It's going to hurt everybody's
right.
ears.
Do that right now. I'm refreshing my We'll get Sarah back on just a minute. Let's go to commercial break real quick because we never really take many commercial breaks here at the Petal Show. So we're going to jump to a commercial break and we'll come back in just 1 second because Sarah was right in the middle of thought there. So we will be right back.
I'm not a lab rat. I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required.
That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Please vote yes. Count the cookies.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com. Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Lindsay Williams on Freedom.
How's it going, Freedomizers? This is Ferdinand. Join me on the No Bull Zone every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about everything from local to national issues, how to be free, and even throw in some health talks. Call in to chat or suggest a topic. That's the No Bull Zone every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome back to the Paddle Show, People Ending Discrimination on Looks. And you can find us here every Sunday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we always welcome your calls at 347-324-3704. Just press 1, and that will let us know that you would like to join us live on air. Otherwise, you're just listening, and that's cool, too. We welcome everyone and your participation in any way you'd like. And again, you can join us in the FreedomizerRadio.com chat room and win potentially micro Bitcoin. So join us. And I want to bring Sarah back in. Hopefully that disturbance is quieted down. I'm sure it is. So we're going to bring her back in. Welcome
Hi,
back
Michelle.
To the show, Sarah.
Okay.
I figured we're going to break. We don't do it very frequently during the middle of the show, so I figured it would be a great break up there.
Yeah, that really is loud. You know, I keep saying, you know, there's all this drone technology, and yet, you know, they can't figure out how to, you know, silence the leaf blowers and the lawn cutters. And I guess they're doing research on hearing aids or something. And same thing with these fire engines. You know, the roads are pretty well organized. I don't really see that it's a necessity to have those really loud, screeching sirens going. But, you know, who am I? Okay, so we were talking about,
I was talking about the truth.
Right?
I just want to comment on that.
If we're in a quiet
environment, you know, most urban areas, it's kind of loud. There's a lot of, you know, noise. People are distracted. We can't focus on what's important. You know, they don't want us in a meditative state. They don't want us getting connected with things. So loud distractions are good for keeping the chaos alive inside the human being and outside of us. So I just had a comment there. Go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. So we're talking about the truth and whether or not the telling of the truth is more damaging than not. And I'm saying that telling the truth is less damaging, even though it seems as though we're being programmed to think that telling the truth is more damaging and it's a bad thing. Okay, here's my examples. This is when I first noticed it. So I am someone who has gained and lost literally hundreds upon hundreds of pounds in this lifetime, both gained and lost it. And I was in an environment, in a community, in a fellowship where we were talking about the truth. And I was looking at my relationship with food as something that needed to be addressed at a psychological level and a spiritual level as well as a nutritional level. So here I am, very social in those years, and what I noticed was this, that when I would lose weight, when I would be in a cycle of losing a lot of weight, people were always commenting, oh, you've lost so much weight. Wow, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You've lost so much weight. By the same token, there were just as many cycles that I was in where I was gaining weight, and I can gain weight very quickly. And at one point, I started to notice that nobody was saying that to me, you know, except this one time. This friend of mine, in fact, we're still friends. It's funny, we were talking last night. Not about this, but I walk in to this meeting, and he says to me, wow, you put on a lot of weight. What's going on? And I said, thank you. Thank you. He goes, what? So I told him what I just told you. And in that case, yeah, okay. If everybody had said that to me, you know, and there still are things that I do, or, you know, I'm going along in life, and someone will say to me, you know, hey, you know, okay, here it comes again. So I'm upset for a little while. But the truth of it, at some point I sit with, okay? Mute. Like, I'm trying to see my screen. Here we go.
Part of living in the modern, quote-unquote, modern world. Or civilized world, as some people might see it. Kind of see that noise as just the opposite of civilized. However, it's what it is. And Sarah will join us back when she can.
Am I there or not?
You are here.
Okay. So, you know, it at least leaves me the opportunity there there are some people who really feel comfortable with whatever size they are, you know, but generally they sort of stay around the same size. And I've seen people, or actually at this particular juncture in my life, I've gained weight. Sometimes it's bothering me for health reasons and because of how I feel, but actually not cosmetically. It's like if somebody were to call me fat, I'd probably just move along, you know. Okay, great. You know, got it. And thanks for sharing. You know, it's not like I would react the way I would have 20 years ago. Which leads into a whole other topic of that name calling. But I really want to say on this thing with the truth, which is that I don't think it causes as much damage telling the truth. I think it's causing way more damage that we've become conditioned to pretend that we think and feel a certain way. And the person who you're lying to, you know, like when I was back there, people with eating disorders have body distortion images, which I'm thinking now, it's not part of some organic disease formula. It probably comes from the fact that people at some point, you know, felt like they shouldn't talk about that. So you lose your sense of reality, in a sense. You know, you can feel yourself gaining weight. Your clothes are getting tighter. You know, you feel it. And yet, I've said this to people. I bet you've had this experience where there is someone in your life that you feel you think you're close friends, meaning you think you can speak honestly with them. Yet when you say to them, you know, okay, now you've settled in, you're going to now get to the next level of what's really going on in your life, and you start to talk, and you say to them, you know, I feel out of control with my food, which I used to back then. I feel out of control, I'm gaining weight, I don't feel good. They say to you, no, you're not, you look just fine. What kind of a goofball thing is that to say to somebody?
Some people, I dated a man who was quite large. The problem is how do they feel? You know, so some people may perceive that you do look fine, but how do you feel? And, you know, it's saying, oh, you haven't gained weight, that is a lie. And the bottom line is this telling people what they want to hear, the truth presents opportunity for change. When people say things to you that you don't want to hear, that presents you with a choice. Well, I'm either going to listen to it and learn from it. I might get upset at first because, you know, a lot of times when people get upset when you tell them something true, it means that, you know, you really hit a nerve. But that presents opportunities for change, for real change in personal work. And we don't challenge one another as human beings on that level. We coddle one another, but then we're really mean to each other. So to one another's faces, oftentimes, we say all the right things, or quote-unquote the right things that people want to hear, and then behind one another's back, we're just, you know, and this is a generalization. This isn't true for everyone, but it's just some of my observations behind people's back is a whole other story. And I believe that we have to be honest to one another's faces. I'm one of those people that says a lot of things people don't want to hear. Yeah. At the same time, I think people respect that, man. It makes some people uncomfortable and run away. And you know what? Some of the things that have, the truth that people have told me that I really have challenged me to work on myself and be better. And, you know, I think it's kind of first when I hear those things, but I love the opportunity, and I like to keep around.
You know what I think it does? I think it does. But one of the things it does is it takes away the dynamics of a real relationship. And so if you take away the real dynamics of a relationship, it's not as interesting. Therefore, it makes the television watching more interesting. Because on television, if you notice, and the drama's there, those people are telling each other the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point.
But if you, here's another one. It's that doesn't have to do with fat. It's like, did you ever, you're negotiating something with someone. I mean, something small. I don't mean like a business negotiation, but it's a friendship, and maybe one person has a car, the other person doesn't. The person says, oh, I'll give you a ride whenever you need one. And then at some point, and this is not me, by the way, I take the bus. But at some point you say, you sort of notice that there's this feeling, there's this energy. You can't quite name what it is, but it almost seems like the person's a little mad at you. That's the way I put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks them, are you mad at me for something? Oh, no, not mad at you. If the issue is ever pressed, you know, what I have found to be true 100% of the time, actually, is a person will say, yeah, you know, I was starting to get upset. I felt used. I felt like, you know, I was doing more for you than me because I was always giving you a ride. But I've seen, you know, increasingly more and more is that people will really just stop seeing each other rather than talk about that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, and I can talk about the flip side of that, too. I work quite a bit. I do a lot of different things besides Freedomizer. And I had a friend who needed help, and I had helped him for quite a while. He had a substance abuse issue. He relapsed, and he ended up having to go away for a little while. And he came out and went to a place for veterans and wanted me to was kind of being a little selfish and wanted me to chauffeur him around. And I said, I'm tired. I can't do that. And I was very upfront, and he didn't like to hear that and caused some major issues. And sometimes people don't like that honesty, but I'm going to stick with it. So, you know, we have to be prepared. We're more honest with other people that we may not have friendships, but we're not going to carry those resentments with us. I don't carry any resentments towards this person. I was honest and I was straightforward. It's about being real with other human beings, I believe. And, you know, I guess that wasn't a real threat.
Well, and the good thing about life is that it seems to be a natural teacher, so that I'm sure that came up for him again. So maybe he wasn't ready to deal with it then, and thank goodness we don't have the policing of honesty either here yet. You know, so he was too much, but you can bet you by golly wow that maybe 3 or 4 relationships later, you know, he started to say to himself, wow, you know what? I really was, you know, trying to get a free ride here, and I don't like that when it happens to me. Maybe he found himself in the same position, you know? So just because it looked like that ruined the friendship, I don't think it did, really. You know, it did and it didn't. You know, I want to talk a little bit about something regarding the name calling, if I could. I just had this experience with YouTube, and you know, I'm taking this social media class, and this kind of came up this week in this way. Meaning, I think I'm going to stop using the YouTube, and I'm going to tell you why. There's Vimeo. You know, there are other places for artists and creative people to post their videos, and I'm going to stop using YouTube, and I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody owns that and has control of it, that they're playing by some rules that just don't make any sense except to a bully. And here's what happened. Mm-hmm. I saw on my Facebook that somebody was posting a news story about how 2 cops had brutally beaten this man. You can see him lying on the ground. His head was bloody, and it was because he was mowing somebody's lawn, or to me, it doesn't make any difference. It was inappropriate. And we've seen enough of this exposure about cops that I think we all know this. So I see this, and I notice as I'm looking at it that the 2 cops have him, his hands behind his back, his head is bloody, it's on the sidewalk, and they're leaning over. And at some point, I notice they're fat, especially the woman. So I said, I've had fat issues, and so I don't know why. I said, you know, so they're 2 fat cops. And I started it. I started to hear that song, Three Blind Mice. So I made this little song up. Basically, it's just, you know, it's a goofball little song, and it says, basically, you know, it's a, oh, see how it goes, you know, see how they run, see how they run. That's why I chose it, because I said, well, these guys couldn't run. They're too fast. So that's what I say, whoops, you know, these two cops can't run because they're too fat. You know, I guess that's why they need their guns and a special hat. And, you know, or maybe they spent too much time down at the Burger Shack, because that's the other thing that I'm seeing here, is I'm seeing lots and lots of cops eating all the time, you know? I'm also wondering, you know, do they have an expense account? Whose money are they spending while they're eating? Are they an official lunch break? You know, in a system where all these rules and regulations, these people seem to be really eating a lot, and maybe they wouldn't need as many guns. You know, if, anyway, all of a sudden, I start getting this stuff from the YouTube like I haven't gotten in years. And at first, it keeps shutting down, and it won't post. And then, eventually, at some point, I get and see that it says that it's been removed by the user. So, it's been removed by the user. Now, here's a silly song where I'm calling these people fat. What these people have done is taken a human being and batter him and bash his head. And YouTube is trying to tell me that I'm doing something wrong by pointing out that they're fat by making, and I think I'm going to make a musical out of it. Actually, I think it might make a good sitcom. We've had sitcoms like that before. We take two fat policemen and we make up a show. So, you know, Hollywood does this all the time. So what is it? Is it that we're not allowed? Is somebody in control of who has ideas for musicals? Because that's how I posted it. It's a new musical by Regular Girl called Two Fat Cops. Is that why it's being banned? Maybe there's one already planned. It could be that, right, in the background, and they're violating somebody's copyrights. That would be a different story. I didn't know about it. Or is it for the name calling? And here's the other thing I'm wondering, is that I wonder if it was two men and I had named it Two Fat Cops, if the YouTube would have been removed. Or is it because it's a woman? I wonder. I don't know.
You know, or if you instead sung Two Sociopath Cops, aren't they all the same? You know, was it because you were lashing out at the police? I mean, was it because of the name calling? Was it who you were name calling, the sex of the person? Was it because of their jobs? I mean, that's an interesting experiment you might want to play around with. Just
see, but this is a creative process. Do you know how many, stories and pieces of literature contain these kind of elements? It's an idea for a musical, which was inspired by real life, which many artists get their inspiration from that. So I'm a bit confused about why, but like I said, because it doesn't make any sense to me, and because, you know, maybe if, you know, posting it on YouTube, maybe somebody who would have seen it would have said, hey, good idea for a sitcom. You know, we'll tone it down a little here, we'll do there, and put up some production money. In another way, you know, they've interfered with my livelihood. That's a look at as well. And even if we take it at face value, the name calling, are they that psychologically fragile?
Yeah.
These people that if somebody calls them fat and mentions that in light of the things that we've been seeing police do, to be called fat, you know, I mean, where's the balance there? I think these are people, if they're that psychologically unstable, these people should not be carrying guns and bats to hit people with. So
well,
this is
you know, our constitutional rights are, you know, eroded.
Is it that I said they couldn't run? They couldn't run? Maybe they don't like the Three Blind Mice song? Maybe they know something about music history and the origins of that nursery rhyme? I mean, it's hard to tell, but the these limits on art and music and comedy and writing and journalism is the point at which, you know, many people have said, hold it here. I'm one of them. You know, we've heard stories about
people posting things on Facebook and FBI agents showing up at their door and carting them off to jail. See, at this point, because I am an artist, it's like I'm not gonna stop my creative process, especially if it's not hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm afraid to go to jail. Do you know how many people are in jail who don't deserve to be there? And then I'm gonna like wimp out and go bowing my head, you know, doing the gas chamber walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to avoid trouble. I don't think so. There wouldn't have been the kinds of genocide that we've seen on the planet if everybody just went. It's because everybody goes along with it. That's the only reason why this happened. And this is the first time in history where enough people have gathered together on this planet to at least attempt to stop that sort of thing. Now, it's gotten out of hand. You know, big thing to deal with here, but it ain't over yet.
It sure isn't. But we have a battle in front of us, and those of us that are leading the way have to be unafraid and really those that choose to act really have to be unafraid and not be afraid whatsoever of the consequences, because there will be consequences. There have been consequences for some of us. Even if they're small, and they will continue to escalate as this, as they try to restrict our freedoms more and more. So,
you know what would be funny, Michelle?
You know,
it would be funny if you fast forward it and you have me in a trial where they're questioning and I have to repeat the song and I sing the song and then people in the jury laugh. You know? Over and over and over, over and over, I have to sing the song as it goes through the courts. Two fat cops.
here's the thing, Sarah, though, like, and I, you know this, but a lot of people posting on YouTube, if their videos are shut down, I know that Michael Janik, one, they shut down his videos, he's Dutch, things, but he posts a lot of videos about the weather and the truth about the weather. And he posts it, but a lot of people will either change how they post or they will stop posting. They will silence their voice, but oftentimes change how they post. We need to continue to post there. We need to build alternative places to post these things and build them up and make it so that they can never take those rights away on these alternative sites. And as activists, we have to stand with one another and lift each other up, you know, because this will escalate. This is just the beginning. And, again, a lot of people are just like, oh, I just don't make it. Whether or not, you know, I see your point about the cops and how oppressive they are, and that's your freedom of speech. We have the right to freedom of speech, and there are consequences to it. Is YouTube the people that should make those consequences? It's the people that, if you want to sell a manuscript, are they going to come and see this? Are they going to come and see this play? That's where the consequences come in, economically, financially. If we vote with our dollars constantly, and people don't like that, that's their choice. If you want to patronize a business that sells genetically modified food, and we vote with our dollars in all kinds of messed up ways. It's interesting. But we have to create. We have to create those different places to air our videos. And I actually off air to a place. I don't know it, but I can get the name from a friend of mine who's working on something with a company. So I'll give that to you off air tonight. But there are places.
Oh, that's great. You know, at the beginning of the show, you posted an article in the chat room about the way people talk and assumptions that are made according to the way they talk. And I've said this before here on Internet Radio, and it's this. That's one of the things that I really think is useful and a great medium for the topic. That's the topic for Petal. So, which is, you know, there are
there are all kinds of people who are attracted here. We know that. But the thing I like about it is that there are creative people who are talented with their voices. See, mm-hmm. So we still do have the freedom. You know, those people who are, whether they're professional or non-professional actors, this is a place where they can experiment or use their voices in all kinds of ways. They can create accents. They can make themselves sound black. They can make themselves sound Chinese. They can make themselves sound Indian. So when you're listening to someone, I found, that's why I stayed in internet radio, because I was aware of that right away, and that made it so interesting for me, because then I knew that it was a way for me to cut through my own programming and my own prejudices and my own assumptions and start to really listen to what was it that they are saying. And in light of all of the evidence that I've gathered and all the information that I've gathered, what do I really think about this or that?
Mm-hmm.
Did I notice that I was felt this one certain way? If there was somebody talking in a way that seemed like, oh, I kind of like that accent and I kind of like that person of who they said they are, you know, and did I feel differently when it came from another culture? And then when
mm-hmm.
I was presented with the fact, which no one ever told me this, I just started thinking about it. I started thinking, you know, the truth is I don't really know. So what do I really think about this? And am I someone who, as sophisticated as I and arrogant as I, you know, am I still swayed by assumptions and cultural preferences? And I found out that, yes, indeed, I am. But
mm-hmm.
that's why I stayed. It's really a great medium for that, I think.
It really is. Well, you know, I prefer to hear what people have to say rather than to focus on what they look like. I really like internet radio. You know, I've been listening to some different people lately, and, you know, some people call some of these folks radicals, but I see them as trailblazers. And, learning more about them and their message, there's a lot of good people out there on internet radio that, you know, some of those people that sound like radicals, that's the other thing, judge people based on looks. But on the radio, we do judge them based on how they sound. And one of them is Sarah Sutensetti. I've been listening to some of his stuff. I'll post some of his links to you. But he has a lot of great things to say. He just is very passionate and just doesn't mince his words whatsoever. And that turns a lot of people away from missing some of the messages that he has.
Exactly.
But,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, if we get somebody there who's cursing a lot, you know, and it seems like
mm-hmm.
you're crazy, and yet if you sit with it and take all that away, what are they saying? Now, some people maybe aren't saying anything, you know, they're just going off, but there's that. What are they really saying? The other thing is, I got to figure at this point, there's got to be crisis actors here, too. There's got to be. So,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that I love about this medium is that they're here, they're going to hear how people really feel about crisis actors. And they've got to deal with whether or not they're going to continue doing that, or they're not, or they're going to say, I'm dying to hear one day, you know, somebody really come out and say, by the way, everybody, I'm a crisis actor. And that hasn't happened yet. But that would be interesting.
Well, you know, that's funny because you say that. And you know what I had a flash to? South Africa, when Nelson Mandela was imprisoned and they had people that were leaking the information or misleading people that were struggling for freedom, and Winnie Mandela and how she dealt with them. And I'd be interested to see how truthers deal with people within our network, because we know that they're here who are, trying to really distort the truth, trying to mislead us. It's an interesting, because, you know, we look at them, discrimination based on looks, and tie back to the topic. We see them as truthers, but they're being deceptive and they're trying to mislead us. So we have to be careful. We have to really listen to one another and the message, and you know, follow the money too. Isn't that always? Oftentimes, if you follow the money, you know, I believe that, you know, truthers want to live too. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you know, if you follow the money,
are they crisis actors? Yes, we'll follow the money.
They could be
crisis actors, you know, or they've been promoted and placed in positions of power without knowing that they've been manipulated to be in positions of power.
Controlled opposition kind of thing. There's a lot of that going on.
One can become really confused by all of that, you know, this sort of flip-flopping, you know, of who's who and what's what, but only if you've let go, you yourself individually have let go of what the foundations of the truth are. And, you know, where do you get that from? You know, then we lead right into childhood and parenting. There is no child anywhere that learns about the truth except by experiencing that his caregivers, his parents, are living that. Children are really, they know what's up. You can feel the truth. That's why in that example I gave before with the car, with the person who's giving the car ride all the time, you know, but it can be anything, the borrowing of somebody's toothpaste, you know. It's this avoidance of the truth that you feel it, though. You can feel it. When you feel something's not right between us, you know, that's why we don't need systems to police this thing. But really,
so right. I think
right.
It's an interesting topic in itself. I think when the self isn't divided, the truth is inside of each and every one of us. Deep down, it is. So the passive-aggressive behavior is a perfect example of what you're talking about, too. You know, people act like kind of nice to your face and say little things to kind of get their digs in. They're being passive and aggressive all at the same time. It reminds me of that. We know when people are treating us that way. Well, yeah, it's interesting. We have so much more passive-aggressiveness in our society. And what's wrong with being aggressive? Doesn't want to think it's either hence all the rat poison or the fluoride. You know, because if we're aggressive and we stand up for ourselves and we know how to speak to one another and we speak truth to one another, then we're free people. But then we avoid the truth and we don't stand up for ourselves and we become calm.
I'm finding out that stealing is a really big passive-aggressive behavior that comes from not telling the truth. I've had actually I had this situation where there were people stealing lots of little things from me, you know, and so at some point, you know, I started to say something to the person who was in charge, and here's what they said to me: maybe they're angry at you for something else. I said, really? That's interesting. You know, so that means it's okay. See, if we take what I just said, and we extend it to our relationship with the government, specifically the IRS. If people were used to telling the truth, what we'd be saying is to the IRS is, no, I'm not giving you another cent. Why? Because I'm angry. Why? Because I'm angry. Because it's going to the FDA who's not doing their job. It's going over here. I'm not giving you another cent. We would be used to doing that. See? There's a reason why we're being programmed to be like this. With each other, it starts there. You get, you know, you build it up. That's what operant conditioning is. You know, you get okay with it here, you get okay with it there, blah, 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 blah. Pretty soon, you know, there's no way you're going to ever stand up to what seems like a big institution. But if we all got real used to telling the truth, nobody would be giving us not even a half a cent. They wouldn't be giving a micro Bitcoin to the IRS at this point. And we're coming up on tax time.
Yes, we are coming up on that time. We are coming up. Well, we are, what is it, Immortal Technique? That's where I first heard the term, plutocracy. We are a plutocracy. A government ruled by, or a society ruled by or dominated by the minority of the wealthiest citizens, the sociopaths. And all our money is going to sociopaths.
Yeah.
But it's not, see, money is a control thing because money really is nothing. Gold is really, you know, there's some intrinsic value to gold, whether it's technology or medicinal. But it really boils down to control of the resources and control, and they see us as resources. We're their slaves.
That's right. So there's an entrepreneurial energy that also comes naturally with telling the truth, because when you tell the truth consistently, you sort of face what turns out to be a paper tiger, and you get a sense of freedom, of real freedom. And we need to start creating our own businesses with each other.
Absolutely.
That's the only way. We're not gonna shoot down all the systems. But if we start to tell the truth to each other, and we start to buy and trade with each other, I think that we'll find that we can build on that.
Absolutely.
And anybody who doesn't like it, they don't have to. They can go do whatever they want. You know.
Yep.
For now,
it's the same. It's the same thing with vaccinating your kids. If I don't vaccinate my kids and you believe the vaccinations work, why are you so worried about my kids? They're not going to give your kids anything if you think vaccinations work. That's not what that's about. It's about control. It's about pulling the other crabs back into the pot. It's the same thing with creating our own social and financial institutions. The truth is deep inside, and the other crabs don't want us to escape the miserable pot with them. I don't know. I think there's a little bit of truth in that. It's not the whole story, but I think there's a tiny little piece to that. And that's how the system is controlled. Very sad. I'd love to see how more and more of these nurses are refusing to get the flu shots, and they're wearing the mask. You don't get your flu shots if you believe in them. You're just going to get the flu. You're not going to give it to me if I have mine. So why am I worried? That's why I don't like working in human services. And that's why awake people suffer so much when they work human services, because you have to get your dioxin, your TB test, or you have to get x-rays. And more and more awake people don't want to work human services or be part of the medical industrial complex. And those are people who can affect change on it. And that is how the system are squeezing people like us out of it. It's very sad. You know, the school systems, and I bet you we find more and more of this conditioning within those systems where they indoctrinate our children and they poison the masses.
Interesting that you mentioned human services, that field, because I've been dealing with social services here, and what I'm finding is that as I talk and say what I think, whenever I'm down there among those systems, it's actually the people who work there who are responding in a more awakened, positive way, you know? The other people are more frightened, but it's the people who work there who are starting to wake up, it seems like.
Absolutely. Well, there are
They know that the reason why they're sitting there with an antiquated computer doesn't make any sense in light of the technology that we have.
Although I don't want any more of the technology tracking me personally, but that's a whole different. But yeah, I have something that I thought of the other day, and this is more of a religious thing, but I kind of want to end this show this way and see what you think about this. I was never one for prayer in my life when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, I was in a gospel choir, as I've gotten older and as I've become more spiritually grounded and I feel better about a lot of things, personally, I've come to the point of expressing gratitude to my higher power and and being thankful for all the things that I do have, not what else I don't have. And the other day, I was just thinking about this. Now, when we express gratitude for foods that have been created by the, I wonder where that energy goes to. Like, I do not want to express gratitude for genetically modified food because it seems to me, I know this is an odd topic to end the show with, but I'm going to go there because I don't fear what I say. But I just started thinking about that. If I'm giving thanks for genetically modified food, who am I thanking? Am I thanking the devil? So I don't think I want to give thanks for it. I only want to give thanks, and when I give thanks for my food, because you don't know what's genetically modified in your food, I really only want to give thanks and really make a mental note that for all that Mother Earth put here, and not what was just, what was frankenized and distorted and created to harm my fellow man by the system or by evil. And so I just want to be more cognizant of how I give, how I express my gratitude to the universe these days, because part of me thinks that, you know, expressing thanks for genetically modified food is really thanking the evil forces.
I really think it's perfect. It's perfect,
yeah.
Because, you know, I've been calling my higher power the Father. And, but it's intrinsically connected with the truth. So that exactly what, as I do this, the kind of thing that you're talking about, if I focus my attention on the Father, that's the way that energetically and mentally and psychologically you start to think about what, well, as when you think about anyone or anything, you start to think about, well, what is that person? What is that thing that I'm thinking about? Who is that person? And then the attributes, the characteristics of that person start to come to mind. So then you, if you're thinking about it like you are, you start to, these things start to come up. The truth is not something that can be actually nailed down, not when you really start to explore it. You know, that's why it's such an interesting aspect of life to become more involved with. It's way more interesting than watching somebody else live it, although it's interesting doing that too. I love film. I love drama. But, I mean, well, that's all.
And that was my problem, is a lot of people around me are running from the truth. And they go to the movies and they're like, I need an escape. And I say, cite me one time you tell me how you're living in reality. Because I see perpetual escapism from what's really going on this planet. And it's going to catch up with you. And people don't want to hear that, but I'm not afraid to say that to people. See, I am one of the, even the owner of this store said to me the other day, he's like, you really are one of the most outspoken people I've seen. And I don't always show it here at Freedomizer, but I think that you will see more and more of this from me as time goes on. I'm not afraid to say what I think, and it always has a cost, but it also has freedom. And I will take the freedom, the growth from telling my truth any day over living in a mental prison of a lie or holding back.
And I believe you. I don't think it's disingenuous of you in any way that here, on this particular program, that's not what you do here, you know? You do something else. Same way as, because the truth, it cannot, is not, we're not compartmentalized creatures. We're just not. It's not the way we're wired. It's not the way this thing is. I don't talk about gratitude and my relationship with Father or my higher power here. I do that more often on Sound Doctrine Ministries. But that's who we are. Dishonesty and inauthenticity are revealed to us they are revealed to us in ways about persons. There are just ways that I know that you're not being disingenuous, and you said to me that you know that I'm not being disingenuous. So there's something really, it just brings back once again, there's something so interesting and so exciting about the truth that people are missing. And it can really save our butts big time. So we have to start doing it with each other.
I believe that we can, and that is going to be my continued work in life. Well, Sarah, I do have to, unfortunately, get home. I have to take care of my baby dog, and it's been a great show. I always enjoy when you join me, and I want to thank you because I've been having, like I said, I'm detoxing from some of those poisons they put in all our cosmetics, and I just came off some medication. I really am working on practicing what I preach 100% the best I can, and it's the body feels those things. And you add in daylight saving time and a sick loved one, which is my dog. It's always nice to have someone. You know, I appreciate you very much. So.
Thanks, Michelle. Thank you so much. Feels really good to be appreciated, and I really appreciate you as well. And it's funny because I'm going home to take care of my little kitty cat as well, and I'm going through some of the same detoxes I think as you. So.
Yeah,
so awesome. Thank you very much for making me feel welcome.
Well, you have a great week, and I will talk to you soon, and I look forward to everyone back here next Sunday, 3 to 4:30 p.m. on the Petal Show. Have a good week, everyone. Bye.
It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth. It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth. If I commit to make a shift, will you commit to give your gift? If we be the change that we wanna see, the shift comes down to you and me. It's the birth of a new way.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Janice Barcello here at Birth of a New Earth. I have a very, very important guest with me today. His name is Dane Wigington. Before I start with Dane, I want to say that beautiful song is Deva'a Haley, and you can go to deva'ahaley.com to hear more of incredible music. And back to Dane. We are going to be talking today about chemtrails and geoengineering and the manipulation of the weather all around the world, which explains why we're having these ridiculously heavy snowstorms along the East Coast, probably in the whole Northeast, why California has been experiencing a drought. They have been manipulating the weather, and Dane is somebody that has more information than anybody else that I know of, so I'm excited to have him here. Dane, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Janice. Thanks for your courage in addressing this issue.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I think you're I don't know anybody else that's sharing information like you are. So I just wanted to ask you your thoughts, first of all, about what's been happening in the United States with the weather, because here in New York we've had at least three times as much snow than is normal. And today it's 50 degrees and melting, which I think is probably where it should be. So this bitter, bitter cold weather with snow, I know California has a major drought and has been very warm. What do you make of all this?
Well, what people need to understand is that there is, at this point, no natural weather. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, the system is very complex, and even slight experimentation would have the potential to alter the entire system. But what we have is a complete saturation of these systems, and the train is horribly off the rails. And yes, the fluctuations that people see, I hope, begins to wake them up, because we are way, way farther into the curve than people understand. And there's so much damage done to the climate system now from multiple sources, not just from climate engineering, but the climate engineering is, based on all available data, the single greatest source. And now the damage is so severe that even a cessation of these programs is not going to return us to the planet we've known. We're far past that point. We're at the point now where if we don't stop these programs, we'll have a planet that doesn't support life at all. And we are much closer to that than people understand, and the data does support that. So it's, I don't know what it takes to wake people up, but I hope that we hit the right buttons, because we need all of us in this fight, all of us.
It seems that people are sort of hypnotized or under a very severe form of mind control, because I know if I walk into the living room where I live, there's a television, and the people I live with often watch TV, and I see that there's chemtrails in the weather report. I mean, you cannot miss that they are showing us where they are going to be spraying in the weather report. There's chemtrails in all kinds of movies, in all kinds of media that they're putting out, and NASA has released a new cloud chart to mind control children in schools to believe that these clouds are normal. So the new chart gives names to all the various types of chemtrail clouds. Have you seen that chart?
I have, and that's, you know, I actually comment about that in the recent presentation I did in Northern California. That's about as insidious as it gets to teach young children that this completely toxic canopy that's giving them ADD and autism and respiratory issues, and that this is harmless. So, I mean, it's about as low as society can go to stoop to that level. And the people in NASA, we've actually tried to expose a few of them that are participating in these propaganda campaigns to teach kids that this is safe. But the bottom line, again, on the weather fluctuations that you mentioned earlier, that we have organizations like Weather Channel, Weather Central, Weather Underground, trying to explain away. This is their job, by the way, to explain the completely unnatural as natural. Weather Channel is owned, as are the other agencies I named. The ownership traces back to Rothschilds, and that ownership is connected also to climate engineering programs. So you have the foxes running the hen houses. So this is why Weather Channel, it looks like a theater. And I encourage people to watch Weather Channel, because it will truly be apparent to them that this is nothing more than theater with paid actors whose job it is to try to sell geoengineering by convincing the masses that the world is a frozen wasteland. And they pick the population center, so they're picking the eastern half of the country to hit these trains of snowstorms one after another, while the planet is quite literally in meltdown. And this is not apparent to people that look out the window every day and it's frozen, it's cold. So it's hard for them to get past that notion. If they see a headline that says the whole world's that way, they believe it. They should take notice now, when you have areas that have been experiencing very cold temperatures are now, even up toward the Great Lakes, there's a tornado and thunderstorm warning in the middle of what was a train of snowstorms. This should shock people. I hope it does, because the climate system is literally coming apart, and this is happening at a speed that can barely be comprehended. So, again, if people care about anything, if they want to have anything left to salvage for themselves, their children, these programs need to be a primary focus to bring to light and stop. So again, that's why we're seeing these radical fluctuations, Janice. It's all the system is totally derailed and at this point literally coming apart.
You know, Dane, I have to marvel at the idiocy of the controllers, number one, but also the people who are buying this, because years ago they were talking about global warming. The video, you know, a whole documentary came out with Al Gore about global warming. Then they shifted it. All of a sudden it was like climate change. Now they're talking about the deep freeze. So all of it is a lie, number one, to convince us that geoengineering is necessary or that it's being done for some kind of benevolent purpose to help the Earth, when clearly these are the most malicious, malevolent, evil people who want to destroy life. This is really what's going on. And I'm interested in, do you have documentation that the Rothschilds are owning the media stations, and also that they are responsible for funding geoengineering, because we're creating a common law court to take these people down.
We do, in the ownership of the weather disseminating agencies I mentioned. In fact, they did an article called Rothschilds and the Geoengineering Empire. Anybody can Google that. And in relation to what you just outlined, I'd like to shed a little detail on that if I could. Yes, the power structure in the media was bent on making the public know the climate was warming, and indeed it is warming. There's no question about it. What changed? What happened? And did they have an agenda for letting us know it was warming? Yes. They wanted to impose draconian measures that were really not the core of the problem, although a problem, but what happened? What changed? So in the late 90s, after 99 was the warmest year recorded by far, then the term climate change came into play. Why did that happen? Because the power structure, that appears where geoengineering was fully unleashed. Although these programs have been going on since probably, on a large scale, since late 40s, early 50s, it's been ramped up the whole time. But in the late 90s, they really pulled out all the stops. So they had to have the term climate change come into play so that people would not be so alarmed at radical fluctuations that were more indicative of climate engineering than they were anything that was occurring with the climate otherwise, from anthropogenic activity or any natural cyclical pattern. So that's when the climate change term came into play. So what's happened since? Now they've completely disconnected from trying to paint a picture of warming. In fact, when the IPCC report came out last September, it was all but swept under the rug. Why did that happen? Because now the runaway event that we face is so advanced that now they're only trying to hide the issue and confuse people until they're done making whatever preparations they're making. And indeed, they're making preparations. They don't order 2.2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point for nothing. And this, you know, they are definitely preparing for an implosion that has to happen. It can't not happen. When there's not enough food to go around, the law of the jungle prevails. So people need to adjust their compass heading, Janice. That's imperative. You can't stay locked into one paradigm because the paradigm changes. So, again, at this point, although I'm not a Gore fan either, and carbon credits or any of that, it doesn't change the fact that the planet is in total meltdown, and that will be apparent soon. And geoengineering is making an already bad situation exponentially worse. We would be overall in likely an exponentially better shape had they never begun these climate engineering programs. And why would that surprise us? How could they possibly do anything but hurt these natural systems?
Well, Dana, I don't know why, but there's so much static you speak. I'm wondering if it's possible for you to hang up and call right back in. Maybe we would lose the static.
I can. Is static still right now even?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I'll try it again because this line should be good. I use it all the time, so I can try that again if you'd like.
Okay, do call right back in. Thank
I'll
you.
Down.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to take a caller right now. Caller from area code 70. Oops, I just unleashed area code 936. Did you have a question or a comment?
Hi, I hope I'm calling the right number. Whose show is this?
This is Birth of a New Earth.
Oh, okay, because I saw from 3 to 5 was Vigilante. Did I...
Yeah, you called the wrong number. Caller from 702. Did you have a question or a comment?
Well, I have a comment. Your topic is right on point. In fact, right after Fukushima, Evelyn de Rothschild and her brother David purchased the world's largest weather dissemination network so they could precisely control the flow of information and hide or obfuscate or spread misinformation about the radiation spilling over the world from Fukushima from its effluents erupting into the ionosphere and being carried by the jet stream.
Well, the reality of this, and we definitely want to ask Dane about this. He's back on the line. The reality seems to me, someone made an excellent video about this, that they are pushing the Arctic jet stream south intentionally, drop the cold air, way south into Florida even, in order to move the radiation from Fukushima as far south as they possibly can. Dane, do you have any thoughts or comments about that?
Well, you're precisely correct.
Wait. I was asking Dane.
There's been a fair amount of speculation on, for example, the drought in California as well, that perhaps they're putting up the dome of high pressure to block the radiation from coming into California. And I don't support that theory for a number of reasons. But one, the method in which they're cooling down the eastern U.S. is accomplished by this dome of high pressure over the western U.S., eastern Pacific, which pushes moisture out of the Pacific north up through Alaska. And that's why Alaska had record warm January, by the way. You may not have heard that, but I challenge anybody to look it up. It's a record, historical record now. So Alaska had a record warm January because of this jet stream manipulation. Then they pump it straight south, and they move that colder air south, combine it with moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, ice nucleate the hell out of it, and you have a snowstorm with very destructive ice storms at the transition zone between this warm moisture and the nucleated material. So if this was the goal, and not just to, for example, cut the moisture off of California, why would they aerosolize and disperse moisture that flowed into California during the summer from the southeast, monsoonal moisture? The geoengineers also dispersed this, allowing nothing to fall. No rainfall fell. Certainly this was not laden with any radiation. So I don't think that there's anything benevolent in these programs at all. They are not about the common good in any way, shape, or form. As you said earlier, and very accurately so, Janice, they are malevolent in every sense. So again, this is about cool downs. It's about headlines. It's about training chemically nucleated snowstorms on the same location again and again and again to create headlines and giving the impression that it helps them sell geoengineering to leaders around the globe, because many have bought into this. It's not working. It's clearly the planet overall is warming up. And let me put a little bit of hard stat behind that so you don't think I'm just on one side of an equation with a certain viewpoint and nothing to back it up. We just passed the 37th consecutive above normal temperature year on planet Earth, 346 months in a row. November was the warmest November on the planet Earth on record. Again, this is not about Al Gore or carbon credits, but people need to break their mindset of programming because they don't like Al Gore, then therefore the planet can't be warming. It can, it is. And in California, for example, we've hovered at an average of 10 to 15 degrees above normal for a year. So this is common around the globe. So anyway, I challenge people to look at the bigger picture, and geoengineering is making that situation worse. Short-term cooling.
It's causing the situation. Geoengineering is deliberately causing the situation. I'm sure that they are targeting California because it is the breadbasket, right? It's like producing so much food. In addition to getting slammed with nuclear radiation, California is now in a severe drought, and there's going to be much less food coming to the United States from...
I wrote an article backing up exactly what you're saying, Janice, that I wrote...
They're doing it intentionally because they want to control the food supply. They want to kill most of us. Americans are targeted by these psychopaths. Have no doubt about...
I don't argue that point, but I would like you, or I ask you to consider that I believe the power structure is also in a panic because the whole ship is going down. The whole ship is going down, and they're on it, and they know it. So I agree with everything you said. California's a target. Certainly eugenics appear to be a part of this. But there's other aspects as well. You can't put geoengineering in this box or that box because there's a whole lot of layers to this. But right now, if anybody looks at the methane situation unfolding in the Arctic, should be headlines on every newspaper that is affecting our equation by the day. So there's a lot of aspects to this equation. I believe the power structure is also in a panic at this point.
Okay, let's presume that there's some of them in a panic, which I'm not really convinced that they're in a panic, because my particular perspective is that these people are Satanists, is that they take great delight in destroying what the Creator created, and they're having a freaking party knowing that they can wreak havoc with this magnificent system of life through their chemtrails, through their nuclear radiation. This is all one package coming from the same people. I say people very loosely because these people do not have a human essence. Their human essence is paralyzed, and the dark forces are working right through them to destroy God's creation. So I would be amazed if they're worried about the destruction of life, because it seems to me they thrive on it.
You see a lot of infighting going on, though, amongst the power brokers at this point, and that's what we would expect. It's like mafia families that fight when there's not enough to go around anymore, and we do see that happening. I mean, there's a splintering that's becoming ever more visible. And again, I mean, data indicates this. Whatever a person wants to draw for their conclusions as to why it's being done, there are very real and very inarguable feedback mechanisms that have now been triggered that cannot be shut off. And the best possible action we can take is to let the planet respond on its own. And again, I don't think many would argue that point. But these feedback mechanisms, there's enough methane hydrate in the Arctic alone, not even considering the rest of the sources on the globe, to exterminate all life on Earth many times over. And that methane is fairly advanced in its release right now. It has a long way to go. But it has started. It has started releasing. We're seeing methane counts that have gone up as much in the last year as they've gone up more in the last year than the total count on planet Earth for most of the last million years. So, which hovered at about 700 ppb parts per billion of methane, we're at 2400 right now. So, I mean, there's huge things unfolding, and it can't be hidden for very long. Simply, it can't be hidden for long. So I think that makes the power structure even more dangerous, and you described them accurately, but as the walls close in on them too, I think they become even more dangerous, and I think we're close to that point.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Well, it appears to me that much of what you speak of, both of you are actually right, but what I see is that, one, we're in perihelion, the closest pathway, the elliptical path around the sun, where the closest the Earth is to the sun in the 25,000-year history. We are also seeing geospatial or geophysical shifts of the axis of the planet, along with increased volcanism, earthquake activity, and other anomalies that are exacerbated by our closeness to the sun and the changes of the magnetic insulation we have between the two spheres. And the sun itself is an immense magnetic force that has a pulling effect that causes many of these changes on Earth to precipitate naturally, notwithstanding the manipulations by these global weather monsters.
Did you want to respond to that, or should I?
Well, you can respond as well. I mean, no matter what peripheral causal factors we might have, we have a very, very clear, visible, and known cause and effect happening here on Earth. An example I've used before, if somebody's walking across the crosswalk and they get hit by a diesel truck, and someone tries to say, well, it wasn't the truck that killed them, they had a heart attack right before the truck hit them, and, you know, lacking any better data, I think, you know, we look at the more obvious solution. I don't deny any cosmological effect at all. I mean, there are some things happening, but we have very, very cut and dry data with certain things happening here. Destruction of the ozone layer, we know, aerosolizing the atmosphere, whether it's from a volcano or whether it's from jet-sprayed aerosols, destroys ozone, period. We have a decimated ozone layer, cause and effect. With the ionosphere heaters, of which there's at least 26 large ground-based units, an unknown number of smaller units their sea-based units, SBS radar, what's that doing to the planet? If they can actually cause seismic activity with these, and the data indicates they can, what has that done? What did Project Starfish do, detonating hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere in the 60s, detonating 2,000 nuclear bombs, many of them subsurface? What did that do? There's a lot of factors going on here at once, and it's hard to get through the background noise to figure out what did had what effect. But the bottom line is what we've done to the planet, we've been very poor stewards of the planet. I don't think anybody can argue that. Very poor stewards. Burning 4 billion gallons of hydrocarbon a day is a problem. Deforesting is a problem. But that being said, geoengineering has stopped the planet from trying to respond to this damage done, and that's the biggest problem of all.
You've gone ahead on your broadcast, and you're getting some cyber harassment, it sounds like. I still heard you there for a moment, Dave, but I hear nobody else. It appears to have gone dead air.
To her. No,
I'm sorry, I was muted and I totally didn't realize it. I do want to respond to your comment, caller, about the sun being close to the earth, and that is that we are being told that the sun is close to the earth. You and I cannot, you know, go and check to see where we are in relation to the sun, and we can only go by some information that somebody else has given us, and presumably they haven't gone to look to see how close the earth is to the sun either. And so we have to question every single piece of information that we receive. What we do know is that they have a technology called HARP. And we do know that they can create massive amounts of agitation under the earth and cause earthquakes and various other disturbances. And they are doing this deliberately. What we also know is that they are dropping poison on us from the sky, that they are poisoning our water supply, that they have built nuclear power plants all over the planet, deliberately putting them on earthquake lines, deliberately putting them close to the ocean, so that when the time came, and believe me, this plan has been in structure for quite some time. All right, so when the time came, they could blow these nuclear power plants and release this, you know, unleash this horrible energy across the planet. At the same time, they're doing the geoengineering. At the same time, they're poisoning, you know, the water and the BP oil spill. At the same time, they're doing all of these disgusting things. And you know what, Dane, you're right in the sense that, yeah, they must be really nervous because they're more nervous about us waking up and shining the light on their activities and shining the light on what they're really up to. So that's why they're pulling out all the stops right now. Geoengineering.
They are. Fully agree on that. We fully agree.
Being, you know, geoengineering being a primary one. So in addition to the methane, you had mentioned other systems that were you didn't think could get back on track. Do you want to share more about that?
Well, the ozone damage is one as well, that if it continues to advance, we have if we have no ozone layer, we'll have no life on Earth, at least no terrestrial life. So, you know, that's another issue too. In fact, Guy McPherson, he's a professor emeritus from UC Arizona, and I salute Guy. He's one of the most outspoken people on the true state of the climate, and he's identified a total of 29 feedback loops that are in play right now. So I won't go into the full list, but the primary one right now is methane hydrate release. And also, to back up what you commented about with certain cosmological facts and figures, the only source for those are official government sources per se, and they are very suspect. And I, again, and climactically speaking, the Earth is in the elliptical phase of its orbit. It should be cooling, not heating. So, and it was cooling until the mid-18th century. So, again, there's a lot of conflicting data. And relying on government sources for data, let's take the UV readings, which I mentioned earlier. It appears as if the official agencies have been, for lack of a better term, lying about the UV readings for at least three decades. And there's no real private effort to dispute that because all these metering sources are all funded by the government. Major universities, all of them are on the take. They, you know, after the 60s and the universities protested so much, there was a huge effort to basically hijack all the universities by being their funding source. That's exactly what's happened. So, you know, one has to wonder, how can UV levels be so off that it's burning the bark off of trees, not just in Northern California, but many other places. The south-southwest sides of trees are being scorched, native trees scorched from the trunk to the tip, right off the tree. I mean, it's bare bark. There's so much UV radiation that a lot of plants don't even sprout now. How can we not know this? How can people feel the sun in their face? And anybody who's halfway awake can feel how hot the sun feels when they get a straight shot. The UV levels are off the charts. It's killing plankton. Plankton stocks, 50% down, 50%. That's plankton produces 50 to 60% of Earth's oxygen content. How can we not know this?
Well, I think it's interesting because places like, I'll let you talk in a minute, caller. Places like New York, we haven't seen the sun in like a month and a half. They have been chemtrailing and dumping not just the chemtrails, but the snow, the ice nucleated snow that doesn't melt, that, you know, when you burn the snow, it turns black and it smells like plastic. Okay? That's what's going on. There's videos all over YouTube about snow that doesn't melt but turns black when you put a lighter underneath it and
we
smells like plastic.
I just put out another article on it. I've been writing about that for several years. You know, I didn't think to take a torch to it, but I'm glad somebody did because I've been writing about the nucleated snow for years. We have patents going back to 1950 for this process. So it's not like they haven't been at it for a long time. And for those that deny the artificially nucleated snow or deny the spraying, or, you know, there's just a lot of people that aren't going to come out of their comfort zone bubble. But, yeah, I hear you. You guys haven't seen much snow, but out here in the West, or much sun, rather, but in the West, it's all we've seen. I mean, it's sun day after day. I live in a boreal rainforest. In 2013, we had the same rain here as Death Valley gets. We had 7 inches instead of 70, and it was 10 to 15 degrees above average almost every single day. So if people look, Australia, 2013, warmest year ever recorded. Same in the parts of South America. That, you know, again, the data is out there, and we're seeing them also, Janice, falsifying temperature readings in every location we've checked about as much as 4 to 5 degrees to the downside. So that means it's much warmer than they're even indicating. So, I stand on this ground no matter who would disagree with it because this is what the data dictates. The planet is absolutely in a runaway greenhouse event right now. Geoengineering is helping to fuel that fire. And if anybody has any sense of prioritization, we must focus on the climate engineering and bring it to a halt before this process is too advanced.
Before I let the caller talk, because I know he wants to say something, I want to say that we are, Kevin Annett and several others are putting together a common law court in the same vein that Kevin Annett took on the Pope and the Queen of England, and his common law court found them guilty of child trafficking, child rape, and child murder, and that is why the Pope stepped down, because of the verdict through the common law court that he knows he could be arrested if he leaves the Vatican. He's hiding out in the Vatican to protect his own butt. So we're creating a common law court along the same lines, and we are looking for citizen jurors. We are looking for citizen magistrates, people that want to serve, want to step up to do something to stop these people. And we are naming names, of course, including Bill Gates, including Sir Richard Branson. These are two of the people that have been funding the geoengineering. And, of course, there's scientists like David Keith who are supporting it and promoting it. And all of these people must be held accountable. As you said, Dane, the Rothschilds family might be interconnected with this, and I'm going to look at your document to check that out, because we are naming these dirty, filthy, evil people. They need to be held accountable, and it's time for the people. If the courts are not going to step up, if the government's not going to step up, then we need to step up and take these bastards down.
I think, back to raising awareness, so many people, regardless of the demeanor of those at the top, and I don't think we would disagree on this at all, those at the top are, for, they're just evil, period, evil and insane. But there are so many participating in these programs that are just, quote-unquote, carrying out orders, which is not an adequate excuse for doing what they're doing. But I believe if we could reach critical mass of awareness, we would have enough people in the military and other private contractors that are carrying out these programs whose families would realize what they're participating in, that we would have a defection from these programs, that the natives as a whole, which, you know, the U.S. population, would be foaming at the mouth, grabbing their pitchforks and torches, and looking for who to hold responsible, if we could just reach critical mass. So people like David Keith, Ken Caldera, I've communicated with both, and they're nothing more than public relations props, distractions. Same with Bill Gates or any notion that Gates is funding this. Whatever Gates does is simply a red herring. And the amount of money it takes and resource to do what they're doing is absolutely incomprehensible, certainly into the hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And when we now know, as RTTV published, the Pentagon cannot account for $8.5 trillion since 1996, $8.5 trillion. So that makes the media we saw that they published, mainstream media in the U.S., that the Pentagon couldn't account for $50 billion. What we're talking about now is 160 times more. So there's no limit. This all goes back to the central bankers. People ask, who does this? Who's behind it? Obviously the people who print the money. And that's where all roads lead. They all lead there. So
they can print whatever they want. They all seem to be dying, falling out of windows, and shooting themselves in the back of the heads with nail guns eight times. Right. Caller, did you want to make a comment? I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience.
Well, of course, if a couple of different things here. One, I am the former common law Supreme Court justice from Nevada, and I am not bar affiliated, would never associate with that satanic organization. And I'm involved in a very terrible child theft scheme from the DCFS in Utah, where I was at yesterday, where they were chemtrailing the devil out of the sky. There must have been 20 planes flying chemtrail patterns across the Salt Lake Valley. But I'm in Las Vegas today. I can feel the sun is hotter here, but you and I should probably talk on a different program because it's a different conversation about your common law international courts or courts here in America as opposed to the international courts under the Zionist plan. But I could probably help you out in that nature if you had an interest.
Let me say, if anybody is interested to participate in the courts, please email, go to ITCCS, excuse me, hang on.
Yes, that's Kevin Arnett's site.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Choking. Isn't that interesting? Go to ITCCS.org and email us, so that we can have you fill out a questionnaire, find out more about who you are, find out if you're in alignment with this court, because this is a key to taking these people out. And even if you're right, even if Bill Gates, who's, you know, got a lot of money, and Sir Richard Branson, also a lot of money, even if they're front men, and I'm sure that they are, it's fun to take them out. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be exposed. I completely agree with you on that.
More than exposed. I hope to really, we're looking for the keys to enforcement of these common law verdicts and to arrest these people and to see them hung. Okay, they need to go. They need to leave this planet for the amount of evil they have perpetrated against all of life.
On that note, there's a lot of people that need to be tried. And what we're trying to do now with people like you mentioned the NASA cloud document. We have taken one author from that document and put that contact number out to the general public. And with other letters to congressmen, I was on the phone this morning in a conference call to D.C. with congressional reps. And what we're doing, even if they don't respond, is we're making them understand that now we know that they know, and we're going to let other people know that they know, so that when they try to toss the ball or just sweep this under the rug, the wider public increasingly will know that they have tried to duck this issue. So, you know, we're trying to start shedding some accountability in that regard as well.
Yeah, so we should be naming names of the people who are responsible for creating the cloud chart. Any names that you have of people, Dane, I'd really like to learn from you. Caller from area code 248, did you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dane. My name is Jennifer Sheridan. I communicated with you a little bit on Facebook about...
Facebook.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you, Jennifer?
Good. Personally, I have a theory that I'm working with a chemist on. I know I've gone over it a little bit with Dane, and you're talking about the fact of having some kind of, you know, something to take down, you know, the big corporations. I actually watched Dane's movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying, right after I watched the movie Gasland. And
that's actually Michael Murphy's.
Kind of,
just for the record, that's Michael Murphy's movie. I was a part of it, but anyway, just wanted to give credit to him.
Yes. You were a part of it, and Barbara, I've talked to Barbara Peterson about it as well. So I watched these two movies in conjunction, and Josh Fox was the creator of Gasland, and what I found from the hydraulic fracking that Gasland covers is that the people who lived on frack lands had mostly aluminum, barium, and strontium in their water supply. Now, I just had a light bulb moment and said, wait a second, they did, you know, the government regulated the fluoride in our water, you know, back in the day, and now we just live with fluoride, and it was, you know, said to be like some dental thing, but they had to move the nuclear waste from, you know, from the nuclear power industry, and they put it in our water, and it's also from fertilizer. So I called a chemist friend of mine, and I said, is there any way we can get, you know, so we got air quality samples. We got air quality samples from a guy named Calvin Tillman. He was a governor candidate for Texas, and he took an extensive air quality sample, and what he found was aluminum, barium, strontium, the same things that come out of those planes in geoengineering. Now, my theory suggests that because of the fracking and how explosive it is right now, each fracked well takes 1,050 semi-trucks full of contaminated waste, which is water contaminated with barium, aluminum, and strontium. Now, the fracking industry has said that there is an issue with disposing of that waste, okay? I live near Sulphur Deer Base in Michigan, and I'm telling you, and I'm going to get it this summer, there is a 747 taking off every 15 minutes. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, is there, like, a big deployment? But I guess it's quite regular. So, and I saw the movie Loose Change back in the day. I know they have remote control 747.
I'm sorry, so what is your theory?
My theory is that they're taking the byproducts from the fracking industry, aluminum, barium, strontium mixed with a bunch of them, and they're spraying it in the air in the form of geoengineering and chemtrails. They're able to get a patent for this through geoengineering. They know how to do it. They can take a byproduct because it's particulate and say, well, we can write a patent so that it says that we're going to deflect the sun, which is kind of the truth because it really does deflect the sun. But we need to get rid of it. So this is a major theory. I've called the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Christina Grosinger, who is the head of the Beehive County Disorder, and within the last 4 years,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is a very, very long comment.
So basically my theory is that fracking and geoengineering is tied together, and
got
also
it.
With the Beehive County Disorder. So I'm working on a theory. I've contacted BBC about it, and I think that's maybe the clout that could take everybody down, basically.
Thank you. It sounds to me like they are not only spraying it in the air, but feeding it into the veins of our very planet.
I would not put anything past the power structure, certainly. I mean, we know they dump everything they can in the oceans, including nuclear waste, and, you know, there's no sanity in that camp. In regard to the aluminum and writing the patents for the purpose of disposing of the fracking material, we have patents and documented evidence of this spraying occurring with aluminum going back to at least the mid-50s. before fracking was even known or theorized on. So, but that doesn't negate what Jennifer's saying. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't disperse these materials in that manner. It's certainly possible that they are. I mean, this would be par for the course for the power structure.
I just have, you know how they have up in the sky, you can see those little kind of like prisms, those little rainbow clouds kind of thing? Well, I believe if they're pulling out these contaminants, you know, they drill down into the shale rock 8,000 feet below, and so they you know, pump it full with particulates, you know, aluminum, barium, strontium, arsenic, you know, hundreds of other ones. On Gasland, you can find a list of the products they use or the
particulates
they use.
We have to go to break in 1 minute.
Oh, okay,
and so if you speak to the point, yes?
Yes. I think those little prism, rainbow cloud, little tiny things are the actual natural gas, because there's no way once they start drilling and they get into the gas, right, cut it off. Okay, they say, okay, now we got the gas, so cut it off. But some little parts of the gas can go, you know, into the contaminated water supply. So when they spray those little prisms, my idea is that is the natural gas. You know what I mean? Because it's like oil on top of water. You know, you
okay.
go to that like kind of iridescent.
That refractory image, though, you can get from the same type of reflective materials. Again, highly reflective materials like aluminum. That's why aluminum was, according to the geoengineers, and the science would back this up if you don't care about the consequences, it has a very high albedo, very high reflectivity, and a very low coagulation rate, so the particles don't clump together. And again, we could see the same sort of refraction from those metals, and a light spectrometer can determine what's actually reflecting what. But again, we do know that these programs go back to the 50s, so, you know, it's a complex equation, certainly. But I appreciate you sharing those thoughts, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you to the caller, and thank you, Dane. We got to go to break. We're going to be at break for 7 minutes, you guys. If you'll stick around, there's going to be more important information. We got a bunch of people that want to ask you questions, Dane. So please do stick around. We'll be back in 7 minutes, folks.
Hello again. Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand-new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life, Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain, Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We're going to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they'd explode the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we're fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison backed by corporations making us poison. And these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism, and that is why we march against Monsanto.
Hi, you're invited to tune in to the Health In Show each Monday on Homeopathy World Community with Debbie Brock, your host, speaking to health experts. We learn about homeopathic energy medicine as a catalyst to boost the immune system and your vital force. Visit homeopathyworldcommunity.com or go to Facebook Homeopathy World Community.
Welcome back, everybody. You're here at Birth of a New Earth. I'm Janice Barcello on the line with Dane Wigginton, and we the caller has since hung up. So, Dane, we were forgot what we were talking about when we took the break, but I did want to ask you. You said before that there was infighting amongst the people who are responsible for this. Can you give us a little insight into what you know?
Well, I mean, I think we can see, if we look past U.S. headlines, at the sort of events that are unfolding around the globe, I know that there's a certain school of thought that there's one central global core power group, and certainly I think we can see enough events unfolding to cast doubt on that. I mean, even what's happening in Ukraine right now, and with Syria, what's happening in China, Thailand, our media is not covering. I mean, Thailand is descending into increasing chaos. Certainly we know what's happening in Ukraine, Syria, so we have major global powers obviously in opposition, China, Russia, the U.S. and NATO powers. Then you see conflict amongst the NATO powers with the Snowden releases and the surveillance blowback that's happening now with Germany, with Merkel. And so you have also, in the case of geoengineering, you have Russia, who encouraged the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, to include in their report last September commentary on geoengineering. So what did that mean exactly when Russia asked for that? Because the whole report, if you can imagine, the largest scientific panel ever created in human history is going to exclude the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all. It shows just how derailed the system is. But why did Russia ask for it to be included? And certainly Russia's geoengineering as well, no question about that. So is China. So are they having second thoughts? I don't know. It's one of RT. You're familiar with RTTV, Janice? I don't know if you're familiar with that. You might have muted out. If you're familiar with RTTV,
yes, I know of it. I mute my phone.
Okay, that's okay. RTTV, one of their major talk show hosts, Abby Martin, very hard-hitting reporter, excellent reporter. But Abby has been very receptive to some communication I've had with her. I feel she can't talk about this issue, but I feel she's becoming more receptive to it. And again, with Russia asking the IPCC to address this issue, is Russia having second thoughts in geoengineering? Certainly we have enough data to know that it's doing nothing but harm. So it appears there's opposing power centers, in the case of geoengineering especially, and other issues as well. And even here in the U.S., I think we're seeing increasing conflict between different parts of the power structure. So I think it's typical, even psychotic human behavior. Once there's not enough to go around, and once things start to get tough, we see fracturing, infighting, and I think we do see signs of that.
Well, it's interesting to me that there would even be a question about, like, that we need data to determine that if we pour neurotoxic chemicals into the atmosphere that it might be a problem. But this is the way that we've all been programmed to think that that we need some kind of data to actually figure the question out. The other thing is interesting about Russia, because Russia right now...
I agree with that point, by the way, the point you just made. I mean, that's something that is so patently obvious. How could it possibly do anything but horrific harm? Just like pumping the fracking materials into the ground, how could that possibly do anything but harm? But yet people have been so conditioned to don't question the scientists. Being a scientist at this point means generally this, that you have a license to lie, you have a license to put out whatever disinformation your sponsor pays you to put out, and the public is trained not to question that. So anyway, I just agree with you fully on your earlier point.
And I want to say, now that you bring up science, is that there is Satanism. Science is a function of Satanism. If you look at the amount of animal torture that is happening in the scientific community, if you look at the fact that GMOs, vaccines, nuclear radiation, geoengineering, HARP, fluoridated water, mercury in our dental fillings, all of this, the whole American Medical Association is satanically infested and run. All of this science is evil. That's not to say every single scientist is evil. It is to say that the foundation of science is based on evil, and that's why there is so much evil coming out of the scientific community, including the backing up of things like chemtrails, geoengineering, and HAARP. So we want to see things for what they really are and stop saying, well, we need scientific evidence to determine if pouring these toxic chemicals into the air is a problem. Of course it's a problem.
This is what you have in the case of geoengineering. You have certain people who want to remain in denial, or whether they're a part of the disinformation campaigns in these programs, but what they ask for is a peer-reviewed scientific paper that states this spraying is going on. And if you can't supply that, which of course you can't supply it, because the only place you can get a peer-reviewed...
Our eyes are not good enough. Like, we can't see.
That's the point, that's the point I was leading up to. So their reality exists, and I know some of these people. I've been on radio with... I did a radio piece with Greenpeace's top scientist 3 weeks ago. So they live in a world where, even if they're not an active part of the insanity, they're a facilitator of the insanity. And whether they're trained to simply shut down unless they have these particular components that they've been trained to recognize as the only reality, even though, as you said, we can see this with our own eyes. We have film of it happening. If anybody watches the last PowerPoint presentation I did, I started it with film footage of these aircraft spraying at altitude, up close and personal, into the argument. There's nothing to discuss. There's nothing to debate. It's going on, period. We can see it. So,
of course.
Anyway, we're on the same page with that. And yes, this... But some of these scientists, and I've spoken to some who want to speak out. I spoke to NOAA scientists about a year and a half ago, off the record, who said, and I quote verbatim, "We know these programs are going on. We're alarmed as hell. We don't know what to do. We don't have any First Amendment protection." So, you know, there are people in academia who want to speak out, but they are simply afraid. And I think if we could provide enough cover for some of those people, they would come out of the shadows. But they just need public awareness to be at a point where it can't be silenced anymore.
You know, I don't have tolerance for people that don't speak out the truth because they're afraid of losing their jobs. You know, they're afraid of losing their own comfort zone, basically. And to me, that's cowardly. In the same way, people in the military who are seeing this, who are not speaking out, or the ones that are in the planes, flying the planes, for the Air Force or the Navy or whatever. I mean, these people need to be held accountable. I don't have any pity for cowards.
Look, you're wired that way. You're wired that way, and I'm wired that way as well. But everybody's not. And I quit Bechtel Power when I was very young because I saw things that I didn't agree with, and I've never worked for anybody since. So, I mean, I have the same lack of willingness to tolerate something like that as you do, but there are people who are just not as willing to stand up, perhaps. But, I mean, you know, again, I still don't want to throw those people under the bus at this point. I want to try to – I hope they find their courage, and I agree with you. They need to find it. I'm not excusing their lack of willingness to stand up. Believe me, I'm furious about it, and there's no excuse for participating in these programs, period. I don't care if it's your job, if you depend on it for your next meal. I don't care. You don't participate, period. But I hope those people involved realize or face this fact, especially in the military. We need the military on our side. We need the military, our brothers and sisters, to realize what they're participating in. And a lot of them don't realize, though, Janice, they don't. I spoke to I mention this a lot, but it's important. I spoke to a KC-135 pilot who didn't know what he was doing up there, and when he went to ask questions, the last news I got was he was medicated behind a desk. So, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios going on, but bottom line is we don't have a lot of time. Time's not on our side. The walls are closing in very rapidly, and I encourage people also, all your listeners, don't stay locked in a paradigm of a certain perception as to how things are, especially in relation to what's really going on with the climate, what geoengineering is really all about. Look for more data and don't lock into a certain paradigm, because that leaves you sort of sitting on the curb when the situation is changing around you, and that's not helpful for our cause.
I want to back up. There's so many things I want to respond to, but I want to back up for a minute just to go back to the topic of Russia, because I read an article the other day that said that Russia right now, 40% of the Russian food supply is coming from the Dacha Gardens, which means that Ordinary people like you and me are growing 40% of Russia's food supply. There is article after article about the Russian government and what's going on in Russia that indicates massive change and massive awakening and massive purification happening in Russia while the United States is deteriorating in the opposite direction, going deeper and deeper into the hell realms. Now, there's also a series of books called the Anastasia books, and these books are coming out of Russia. And in one of those books, she said something very briefly about the future when what I took out of the book was that there was going to be planes guarding the Russian airspace from the planes that are spraying. And maybe that's the kind of thing that we need, is people in the military to be willing to shoot down the people who are responsible for destroying this country and all of life. It's not just, you know, I say this country, but this is a piece of earth, this is a piece of motherland that deserves protection. And the sacred masculine, that's really what the masculine energy should be about, not running all over the planet, murdering people that you don't know, dropping depleted uranium because, you know, somebody told you to, and destroying parts of the planet that will be uninhabitable for centuries because of what you did. That's not masculine. Okay, that's the opposite. That's wounded male energy that has no courage to do the right thing. We need men to stand up and do the right thing. That includes people who are foolish enough to join the United States military and to believe that they're doing something good in doing that. There's nothing good coming out of the United States military right now. But there could be. I mean, people could turn around. People could take their planes and shoot down the planes that are blowing this stuff into the atmosphere. That's one
way.
Dad,
we could... to back you up on what you just said, and I'm in agreement with what I see happening in Russia right now. And if people, again, this is where looking beyond the headlines, beyond mainstream media, right now what we see is the Western powers, led by the U.S., fomenting violence and chaos in countries around the globe. It appears they're connected to what's happening in Thailand, what's happening certainly in Ukraine, what happened in Libya, Syria, Egypt. The list goes on and on and on. And how our media, for example, demonizes Iran as some sort of threat when Iran is just simply a goal to acquire for our country. Iran in 225 years, has not invaded anybody. The U.S. has invaded 50-plus countries in the last 50 years. So who's the aggressor here? You know, and I hope people wake up again, shatter their delusions and their illusions, and start looking for real data. Reassess your reality fast while there's still something left to save.
And it's also a question of breaking the programming, because we are programmed. Like we said earlier, what the schools are doing right now with the help of NASA and organizations like NOAA, NOAA, all right, are creating these false cloud charts and trying to normalize these clouds, make them sound normal. If you compare the cloud charts from the 1960s, which have maybe 4 to 7 different cloud types, okay, compared to right now where there's 27 different cloud types that are mostly chemtrail clouds, you can see so clearly how the schools are trying to program children and why we have people coming of age willing to join the military, because they are programmed, because they have been subject to programming that needs to be broken. The programming absolutely needs to be broken for people to see this. We have a caller. Let me just see. Caller from area code 914. Did you want to ask a question or make a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to make a brief comment about how the weather is such a huge factor in commerce. And I'm not talking about agriculture, because that's part of it, but there are other ways. And I'm going to name a couple of examples, because I think this might wake people up in some way. I lived in Hawaii for a long time, and all the extreme.
Hey, but we're having a hard background noise.
Yeah, if you can just bear with me, because I find that it happens quite often. It was very quiet, and now there's a leaf blower. where I might mention that with all the advances in technology, isn't it interesting that they can't come up with a silencer for the leaf blower? Okay, anyway, just bear with me. I'll be quick, okay?
Okay.
When we learn, it's like if you're working, if you're a regular person, and you're watching the weather, there's a reason why the weather is a part of the news. People want to know, do they need to take an umbrella with them? If you live in a huge urban area like New York City, you get caught in the rain. This is just one tiny example. Do you have any idea of how many tens of thousands of umbrellas are sold that day? If you don't know, to take your umbrella with you. That's just one tiny example.
So what's your point, caller?
My point is that commerce is controlled by the weather, meaning if they report on a Friday before a holiday weekend that it's going to rain that weekend, there are lots of people on the East Coast in Westchester County specifically, all along that region who are wealthy, who if they thought it was a nice, sunny weekend coming up, they're going to pack up their car, and everything that they're going to buy is going to occur in a different place.
There may be, I don't deny the commerce in, you know, that there are a certain amount of commerce connected to whatever happens with the weather, but there are much, much, much bigger agendas being carried out than that. And that there's always the disaster capitalists that feed off the carrion, feed off the carcass. Even in this case, I would argue Monsanto, as big as they are nothing more than a vulture feeding off the carcass, even with their genetically modified seeds, drought-resistant seeds, aluminum-resistant seeds, by the way, they have now. So, but even then, I would argue that that is just an attempt of disaster capitalists to feed off the carcass while there are much, much bigger wheels in motion that have to do with much bigger agendas.
You know, Michael Murphy, in his sequel to What in the World Are They Spraying, created a film called Why in the World Are They Spraying? And in the film, he talked about commodities, that weather is being traded as a commodity. Are you familiar with that, Dean?
I am.
Did you want to make a comment about that, the fact that they're gambling on who's going to end up in droughts and stuff like this or getting
they
hit
are.
By tornadoes?
It's absolutely going on. There's no question about that. In fact, let's carry that a little bit further. We saw areas in Australia get droughted out so horrifically that whole regions were sold for pennies on the dollar, including towns. Multinational corps bought that up. Rain's falling again. Now we see in California, absolutely positively, no question, this drought is engineered, period. Whatever the purpose of the engineering, whether California is a climate sacrifice zone or a target, and it appears increasingly it was a target, but we see that happening here too. But I would argue this again. This is no more than a pirate ship going down and all the pirates loading their pockets with loot, even though they're all going to die. They're all going to drown, and that's the mentality.
You know, they don't realize that they're killing themselves. Are they that moronic? I want to thank the caller for bringing up the issue of weather and commerce, because it's even bigger than we imagine when they're trading on the stock exchange. You know, who's going to end up in drought and who's going to end up with tornadoes and earthquakes and stuff. They're gambling on this. We have another caller from area code 417. Did you want to make a comment or ask a question?
Yes, I do. Is this Janice?
Hi, Pamela. Yes, good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Another awesome, great show. Good to hear you, Dane, and I appreciate your work. I have a couple of questions. First of all, what is your estimation or your take on what the core purpose is? I mean, all the way back to the beginning, what is the core purpose for geoengineering?
Power and control. It always is. It's power and control.
Yeah.
But that power and control always runs off the rails because, as with a drug addict, you know, they can't get enough. They have to have more.
Yeah.
And the more they do, the worse the situation gets, the more they have to do. And it's a very downward spiral. But now, again, wheels have been put in motion that cannot be turned off. We face a very different reality, a very different planet, at best. If we don't stop geoengineering, we face a planet that will not support life in a very short time frame, very short time frame. And even if we stop it now, you know, there's still huge questions as to what will be left. But the bottom line is, based on all available data, our time horizon is extremely short. We're not talking about in our grandchildren's lifetimes. We're talking about now. This is unfolding now. So I think in the next weeks and months, I believe what's unfolding is happening so rapidly that there won't be anybody who's halfway awake that won't realize the severity of our situation.
I agree with you. I absolutely do agree with you. Now, earlier on in the show, I could not get in, but I heard you very briefly say that why do you think they're stockpiling ammunition? I would like your opinion on why they're stockpiling ammunition and what they think is going to happen or what they're going to make happen.
I think both your points are right. And as the walls close in, as the public wakes up to climate engineering alone, and they are waking up. I had a high-level meeting a week ago at the Capitol with almost the top of the ladder, and you know, from a lot of other arenas, we're hearing from a lot of other people. But as critical mass of awareness is reached on geoengineering alone, the power structure will, I believe, try to do something, whether they do another false flag event, another 9/11, something to lock down society. Now, I think they're it's not going to go as they plan. The people who are they're counting on to carry out their martial laws and so forth are trying to find food for their own families, I think it's going to be hard for the power structure to carry out these plans. But they're based on all available data at this point, there is no chance that civilization is not going to collapse, and soon, short of some outside unknown force, short of divine intervention, if you will, civilization will collapse soon. So our goal is to try to accomplish certain things before that happens, while we still have communication, to stop the decimation of the planet so that some of its life support systems may still yet be left intact. So that's why they're digging in. That's why they have 2.2 billion rounds of ammunition. I mean, think about that. That's enough for, what, almost 7 rounds apiece for every man, woman, and child in the country. So they're preparing, and I think this will come fast and furious, and this is what people need to get through their heads. You're not going to get a 6-month warning. You're not going to see it off on the horizon. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to see this coming till the brick hits them in the head. And I think we're much closer to that than people realize, to a break in the chain which will collapse the whole row of dominoes. It's happening right now. You have 30-plus countries around the globe descending into chaos right now.
I agree with you. And, you know, another reason why they keep buying ammunition is because that gets it off the market, so we can't buy it. I mean, there have been times in the last couple of years when we have waited in line for 3 weeks, longer than 3 weeks to get ammunition. Why? Because the government gets it first. They have priority.
I agree. Same thing happened with Mountain House Foods. A friend of ours talked to one of the head people that the government was buying everything they could produce. Public couldn't buy any.
Right.
They were, you know, so I mean, they're absolutely stocking up. Now, again, what they are not taking into account, I don't care how deep their hole is or how well it's stocked, on the course we are on right now, the planet won't support life for much longer. And the equilibrium periods after such an event as what is unfolding now, based on previous events like the Paleocene, Eocene 55 million years ago, you're talking about 10 to 20 million year equilibrium periods after such an event. So you can't hide in a hole that long. So you know, it's imperative we get off this current course very, very soon,
right,
or it's too late.
Well, if these beings, and I don't call them human beings either, like Janice said earlier, once they've made their deal to be involved in this, their humanity, like Janice said, is either paralyzed or their soul is actually removed. And they are replaced with these parasitic, non-human, non-organic beings. And it is my opinion that they may be trying to make our Earth, our beautiful planet, into what they need to breathe and to exist, because they are not comfortable down here with what we've got going on now. So
you know,
they have to stay underground.
I have a very open mind. I mean, I'm a lay student of cosmology and quantum physics, but I would argue this, that I, having read a lot of Stoic philosophy from the first century AD, or even if one looks at biblical texts or some of the other texts from that era, we see human nature is quite the same as it was then. It's just on a bigger scale now. And I don't argue this with you or Janice, that these people are wired differently. They are not what we are in the sense that we know that they are definitely marching to the beat of a completely different drummer. I do not argue that. But I'm saying that I can see nothing based on following all this chain of events that I can't attribute to those that are, for lack of a better term, evil. That's what they are. I don't argue that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I see nothing that I can't attribute to that. And I, whatever else is out there in the cosmos, I could only speculate on. But I just rationally think of it in this way, that if a life form could survive its own success and gain the technology necessary to cross the galaxy, then I would imagine that life form would be benevolent. But that being said, again, I don't want to go into that arena for myself. I want to stay on hard data that has kind of brought our cause mm-hmm. this far. But I can attribute this to plain evil human behavior, of which we've seen so much throughout human history.
Absolutely. It's 100% evil. Thank you so much. I won't take up any more of your time, Denise. And
thank
Dane, thank you for a great show. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. I'd like to speak into this because it seems to me that there are opposing spiritual forces, and that the opposite of the loving force could also create entities. And those entities, you know, what we're capable of with the human body, we don't understand that we're capable of. We don't need the Internet to have information. We would have all the information from every corner of the universe, from all levels of existence and all time and space, in our pristine capacity, in the same way that we could communicate with each other telepathically, and we could travel to other parts of the universe with a thought. We could also eliminate the chemtrails with our thought. If a few of us got together on a regular basis, say once a week, and visualized blue skies, we could eliminate the chemtrails with the power of our thought, because we are organic and from the Creator, and there are those who are from its opposite who need technology. Okay, and they're bringing all of their weapons, and these are weapons, to try to use against the power of a pristine human, because it takes all of these weapons, and we're still not dead. Okay, it takes all of this poisoning and this mind control and this attack on all life forms, okay, to try to change us and to try to kill us. But still we are going on, and I'm guaranteed that life is going to go on, because they will eliminate themselves first before they're going to be successful in eliminating all of us.
I have family members that could I can picture a part of any of these programs, and they came from the same place I came from, and I don't know what made them different exactly. I know they are different. I know growing up with them and their willingness to torture animals and so forth and things that I was not willing to do. I don't know what made them that way, but whatever the case, and while we're working out our raising of our consciousness to a level where we can do more, we should engage in a very, and I know you're engaging in the battle very directly. You know, you're getting the word out. You're raising consciousness, right? And that's while we're trying to, or that's part of our process of raising consciousness, is to help awaken others too. And I think, again, with what you're doing and what I'm trying to do, is to awaken those people, and having the sort of data that I'm trying to pass on is part of that process of awakening them to give them things that they can't reasonably, rationally deny or dispute. So, you know, I hope as they awaken that they become more conscious, as you described, as they become more a part of the benevolent whole. So it is a process, but I think the actual tangible actions that we are taking now are part of that process to raise that consciousness, to raise that awareness. Because I do see people, I just came from the consciousness, I spoke in L.A., a week and a half ago at the Consciousness Expo, a huge expo in LAX Hilton. And unfortunately, a lot of the people there who feel that they're awakened, enlightened, and so forth, weren't very engaged in learning more about this issue of geoengineering. I don't want to say all of them, but obviously the promoters had us there and had us disclose the data we had. But just a lot of people in a lot of arenas, and I don't want to pick on them. I've been into Christian churches, many other institutional organizations here locally, very few of which wanted to know anything about this. And I challenge those people that based on biblical doctrine, for example, which I know and I've read and I respect, they're not allowed to sit the bench, not allowed. That when something like this is presented, they're required to look and take action and not ignore it. So we see people in all sorts of different arenas who are not really adhering to their own professed philosophies, if you will. And that needs to change.
All of it, yeah. Well, all of us need to come, number one, come to an awareness. Number two, break the mind control. We've all been purposefully traumatized from the minute of birth when we enter into this planet through a technological birth, and we are tortured in hospital birth. We are altered from that point on. And we have to heal ourselves in order to reclaim aspects, you know, like a willingness to see what's going on. Many people are not willing. Many people would rather, Mark Passio coined a very powerful term. Instead of saying ignorance, he called it ignorance. They are choosing to ignore the obvious because paying attention to it would mean that they might have to act, would mean that they might have to come out of their comfort zone. And if you're not uncomfortable now, folks, then you're not paying attention. Because we got serious problems. We have like under 5 minutes, Dane. I just want to ask you for any last important comments that you want to make, and how do people find you?
Geoengineeringwatch.org. I'm also on Facebook now. I just started being active 2 months ago, but I'm up to about almost 5,000 of a group there that's a good interactive group. I encourage everybody to get off the bench and get involved, to get up,
yay,
get active, and you have tools for that involvement. Don't just run on your first knee-jerk reaction, drag people out in the street, point at the sky and rant. We have very useful, effective flyers on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. You can download those for free and print them anywhere you're at. We're also going to be mailing out packages of 150 flyers. They're color glossy, two-sided. They're very high-quality flyer. We're going to be mailing out packages for about what it costs us to make and print and mail. So those are good tools. There's also a website called SkyderAlert.com, and there's a downloadable app that you can monitor wherever you're seeing trails. It goes into an app that notifies your congressional reps and so forth. There's the film lookup. It's won about 8 awards now. Great tool to introduce other people to this issue. Also, a PowerPoint that I did recently is got a couple hundred thousand views on YouTube in the last couple weeks. It's called Climate Engineering, Weather Warfare, and the Collapse of Civilization. That's on the homepage of GeoWatch. But bottom line, learn a little bit, at least, about this issue, arm yourself with credible data, and start sending out the flaming arrows. Autism groups, Alzheimer's groups, ag groups, farm groups, send them credible data. Help them wake up. Give them something to go on. It's up to all of us.
Well, that was really, really beautiful, beautifully said, Dane. And I want to add to that, again, another reminder that we are in the process of creating a common law court that will take on the issue of chemtrails and ecocide through nuclear radiation. This court is seeking people who are interested to become common law jurors or to serve the court in some other fashion. If you are interested to participate in a common law court,